Hello, everybody. It's Kostaki Economopoulos, host, head writer, CEO of Upro Lines, the podcast. Thanks for being here. We got a lot to talk about. And my bro is on. I love my bro. It's good to talk to him whenever I can. And he and I did a thing for a month, and we will report all about it. A couple of housekeeping things. We're going to try to do this once a month on the Monday, the first Monday of the month. Now, sometimes the schedule doesn't allow it. There's travel. The guest isn't available, whatever's happening. But the goal is to do Mondays and wrap up the month that was and tell you what's going on. A couple of things about me on the road. I'm doing Albuquerque on October 16th. That's here pretty soon. And then in about a month, I'm doing Des Moines, Fort Dodge, Sioux City, Iowa, and then Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And then a month after that, I'm doing Cincinnati, Mahomet, Jasper. All the scheduling and everything's at Kostaki.com. If you want a fun deep dive of free Kostaki goodness, go to the YouTube channel. I post three shorts a week and have for like two or three years. So there's a whole sea of, you could just go down a rabbit hole of football and marriage and family funny. And give us a follow over there. And follow us on the socials at Kostaki Economopoulos, Instagram and Facebook, and at All Pro Lines. We're also on TikTok. We're on TikTok and Threads and Blue Sky. Wherever you, whatever your social media flavor is, we're out there somewhere. Come find us. All right, let's do a few jokes. We'll get the bro on.
The 2 minute drill.
The Colts beat the Raiders 40-6. It's like the Raiders went to Indianapolis, got drunk, and attacked the Colts, and the Colts pepper sprayed them and stabbed them and sent them to the hospital. The last 2 weeks on Bob and Tom, I've had one subject that I did like 15 jokes on, and it's not usually the model that I use, but I really enjoyed that. I was looking for that all week, and I couldn't find any subjects that had that much juice that were so interesting and filled with funny angles. And then Mark Sanchez started drinking. So the news sort of trickled out over the last few days. You saw the headline, former Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez taken to the hospital after being stabbed in Indianapolis. You're like, oh, some lunatic stabbed him. That sucks. I hope he's okay. Right? Then we heard that he was stable. Doctors said he was stable. And then when the Browns heard about a stable quarterback, they signed him immediately. Like, we need one of those. Like, the poor guy was stabbed. Traditionally, when the Jets get gashed, it's by Tom Brady. Then we heard Sanchez was arrested at the hospital. And we're like, wait. Getting arrested after being stabbed is kind of the butt fumble of crime. What's happening here, right? So reports that it was an altercation between two men over a parking spot, which, having lived in New York City, I get. I understand that. That makes perfect sense to me. Then this fun fact, Sanchez was the aggressor and the other person was a 69-year-old truck driver. Like, wait, what? What's more embarrassing, getting drunk and attacking a 69-year-old or him putting you in the hospital? Now Mark Sanchez has a better record against playoff opponents than aging truck drivers. That's a weird step. Pro tip, if you ever get attacked by an angry Mark Sanchez, just run 10 feet away. He's not very mobile, and he can't successfully throw anything at you. Stabbed and arrested. Talk about a dirty Sanchez. Huh? All of this just to get out of calling the Colts and Raiders game? It wasn't a very good game, so maybe that's... So another former quarterback, Brady Quinn, had to replace Sanchez in the booth. Coming in off the bench with no notice. Quinn trained his whole life for this. Between Mark Sanchez, Brady Quinn, Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson, Geno Smith, and Sam Howell, there's like 100 years of holding clipboards in this situation. All right, let's take a look at the three charges Mark Sanchez is facing. Public intoxication. Being drunk, being in public is legal. Being drunk is legal. That's a bullshit charge. Public intoxication is It's like vagrancy. You're loitering. They just have it on the books in case you're being a pain in the ass. It's not a real thing. You're allowed to be in public. That's what a bar is. You're drunk in public. That's bullshit. I was once kicked out of a casino for being too drunk. I was like, well, you did serve me free drinks for 10 hours. What'd you think was going to happen? All right. Here's one of the other charges. Unlawful entry of a motor vehicle. Which we got drunk and like dropped in through the sunroof. Did he bow and Luke Duke his way in through the window? What the fuck is that? You're not invited, I guess, is what that means. You're asked to not enter the truck and you do it anyway. I don't know. And then battery with injury, which sometimes you see the phrase simple battery. Yeah, you grabbed the guy and slammed him into the dumpster. That's simple battery. Now, if you built a Rube Goldberg device with a marble that rolls down and dumps a bucket of water, it trips a wire, launches a mattress, and slams the guy into the dumpster, that's complicated battery. See, that's a totally different charge. And apparently this morning, I haven't even had time to look at the article, it was upgraded from a misdemeanor to a felony level of battery. Ugh, this story is so fucked up. Mark Sanchez. When Geno Smith was a Jet, his own teammate broke his jaw. Now Sanchez gets stabbed by a truck driver. I'm not saying God hates the Jets, but there are decades of evidence that God hates the Jets. I'm not a saint. I've done plenty of things that I regret, but Jesus, stop it with the, I'm 50 something. I've been drinking for almost 40 years once in a while, on and off. I never got a DUI. I never beat up my girlfriend. I never assaulted a grease disposal truck driver. What do you just get drunk with your friends and tell some dirty jokes and laugh and go to bed? What? Occasionally you mix in some consensual sex with a grown-up. Why is this so hard to get right? It's Rex Ryan, not reachable for comment. He was busy perusing sweetassfeet.com. Oh, this just in. The Dirty Sanchez has filed a suit against Mark for hurting its reputation. The pristine reputation of the Dirty Sanchez. Jake Paul announced he's going to be fighting the truck driver. So that should be fun. All right. Let's do a couple of New York City jokes and bring in my bro. Both of the New York City teams lost again. Again, they should do a TV show about them and call it Sucks in the City. They call New York the city that never sleeps. You know why? Because they lay awake at night, haunted by the terrible football. That's what's happening. All right. That's enough comedy. This story's insane. You know him. You love him. He's a longtime friend of the show. And I met him when he was 3 days old. And I still like him. Here he is. Andreas Economopoulos.
Hello, everyone.
You did pee on me that day.
I was going to say, I remember the story that I peed on you, which was... I must have sent a message early on, you know.
I had all the 9 months of like getting the child excited about a baby brother. And I was so like, couldn't wait to finally meet you. You're on a table and I walk over. I couldn't wait. And it's like a little rainbow arc of pee right onto my face.
Did mom and dad not understand how the penis works? Mom, you there?
You'd think with the first son, you would learn.
Wait, so the... Okay, so I'm trying to make sense of the Mark Sanchez story.
It's insane.
Because I heard somebody said he was like running in the alley, like doing like wind sprints. And there was like a truck like somehow in his way. And that's how, but you're saying it was over a parking spot, meaning he was driving or he wasn't driving?
Again, it's like I went on a deep dive on this subject last night. And so it's exactly what you think, where it's like you get one phrase from this article and one phrase from this, and some of them have been like updated and proven wrong. So at the beginning, we thought it was an Uber driver, and then that's not the case. So I did see the wind sprint thing. So it's possible that the driver was parked to go get the industrial grease. Apparently, that's what these restaurants have. People that come and trade out the grease, the used grease, okay. And bring the new oil for the fries or whatever. And apparently that's the guy's job. And Mark didn't like where he was parked. And so they got in an argument.
When you said grease truck earlier, I pictured you've never fought somebody in a grease truck. I was thinking, I've seen you hammering in Santorini. And Yeah. I was like, that grease truck makes sense. Okay.
It's some version of he's drunk and pissed about the guy, probably where he was parked.
I think the additional charge was that they realized, I saw the headline this morning, that the victim, who's the 69-year-old, had more severe injuries than they originally thought.
Right. That's right. So it's the level of injury.
So he's like beating the guy and the guy pulls out his little pocket knife. That's what happens.
Yeah. Apparently he sprayed Mark with pepper spray first. And then it was like a movie where he like wiped his eyes and kept coming at him. And the guy reports that he literally thought he was fighting for his life. So he pulled his knife out and stabbed Mark a few times. And then Mark like realized what was happening and looked shocked and ran away. That's the report from the other guy.
And they found him from the trail of blood or something. That's what somebody said. Like they
apparently a bartender. Mark wound up in a pub, and then the bartender was trying to help him out, not knowing it was Sanchez. The whole thing is so insane. Like, I don't know. I guess this is the kind of story that you end up telling at a meeting, right? Like everything, whatever is happening in his life, he's very angry and has problems and took it out on
it's a great testimony for sobriety, for sure.
Right. Yeah. Because it's right. It's a crazy, you and I had a thing where I got super mad about nothing. And, you know, like I have some empathy for losing your mind and saying dumb things and doing things you regret. But it also, to get to that level is kind of astounding to me. It's real. I don't understand. I don't know. I guess it's in you. It's in all of us. If everything kind of stacks up and piles up and your life really sucks and you get hammered. Apparently Sanchez doesn't remember this. Like he
I was going to say, it almost sounds like a blackout moment, you know?
Yeah. It from the early reports, again, these facts change and they evolve and they get updated, but it sounds like his initial report was that he's fuzzy about the whole thing and doesn't really remember what happened. So drunk.
And if you did remember, it's still the better thing to say that, right? Like if you vividly remember trying to assault an old man, no offense to the 69-year-olds watching, but I mean, Mark Sanchez is still young and I'm sure athletic, you know, he's a professional athlete.
Yeah. He's 30 something. He's like 37 ish, give or take. Right. Yeah, professional athlete in his late 30s, pounding a 69-year-old. What are you doing?
Right. That is crazy.
Because he was parked in a place you didn't like.
So does Fox like have to wait to see how things settle, or they just go ahead and let him go now? I mean,
there's no way that after this story he gets to be back on television.
Right. But it's like one of those innocent until proven guilty things, but they have the right to let go whoever they want anytime. So they just go.
Yeah, they're not a court of law. They're like, this is terrible for our network. Goodbye, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why you would even entertain the idea of having it back.
Well, and it's not like there's a pile of people waiting for these jobs that we don't.
Yeah, of course.
You know, we didn't know Greg Olson was going to be really good. We didn't know Brady was going to be so mediocre. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a lot of these really smart, like eventually Austin Eckler, that kind of guy will be on.
Right.
One of these and take over the other people's jobs as they age out, you know? Right.
Yeah, they're very competitive jobs. It's hard to get good at them, too, I imagine. There's a skill set that not everybody has. I mean, people play football and, you know, they think they could go. I mean, even comics think they could do radio or whatever. Like, doing radio is a totally different skill set from doing stand-up, you know? Like, so, obviously, the jump from professional athlete to broadcaster, I mean, I'm sure hundreds of dudes think they can do it, and there's a tiny percentage of people who are good at it. I don't know. The story's fascinating. Akib Talib went away because he was near a terrible thing. He wasn't even the one who did it.
Right. Right.
You know, like these networks don't want to mess with someone who brings baggage and bad press to the table. Yeah. On the other hand, Michael Vick's back. You know, he's been. Yeah. You know, like if enough time goes by and enough forgiveness happens and enough, like, I think if the public genuinely sees that you're a troubled person who is like, holy shit, I really fucked that up. I'm so sorry. Let me make it up to you. if that's genuinely what's happening, I think you can get another chance. But in the short run, he's definitely going to be unemployed.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely like a good redemption story for sure. Yeah. You know who's strangely good, and I don't think everybody will agree, is I enjoy watching Cam. Like the ridiculous hats and everything, that's his own thing. But actually, Cam talking about – he's on TV lot now. Yeah. And it was weird, him and the Tua back and forth. He kind of called Tua out, you know, which was – Which honestly, he's right. Like, Tua is getting paid all this money. You know, it's like you're getting paid that money. You have to, you know, step up. Of course, that team is such a disaster. I imagine that'll be the first coach to be fired this year, if I had to guess.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I can't. Yeah. I don't even know who would be second place in that debate right now.
Well, I mean, before yesterday, it might have been the Titans guy. But speaking of which, did you see that? Honestly, that is one of the craziest sequences I've ever watched of an NFL game.
I needed it for a pick'em thing that I'm in, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Aiden and I were watching it together, and when DeMarcado like does it too early, he looked over and goes, "Well, at least for his sake, they're blowing them out."
Right. It was 21-6. Right.
Right. And I said,
and
if that
score would have been 28-6.
Right. Exactly. And they come back and score, and then the guy misses extra points, so they're still down 9. That poor coach was just like, the look on his face.
Right.
And then the crazy interception, fumble.
They make a pick. He falls down, fumbles the ball. The other guy kicks it into the end zone. They fall. It's insane. It's like Benny Hiskett.
Yeah, like Tyler Lockett, who you haven't heard about.
Tyler Lockett is back.
Scores.
Yeah, that game is insane. That was just a gift. It was just a crazy gift. And I had already posted a meme and written a bunch of jokes about the Titans being 0-5. And then I was like, well, I guess I got to save these for another week. I couldn't believe it. Like, I usually don't get ahead of myself, but that one was such a blowout. I was like, oh, they're going to be 0-5. This will be the shitty team of the week to make fun of. And somehow they won. That was insane.
As a Falcons fan, I enjoy these strange epic collapses. Because I picture myself, you know, those fans are all excited. They're in Glendale. I think they were, 2-2 before that game. They've lost on a couple of last-second field goals, and they're handily winning. And they're like, hey, tough division. And then they, they might consider leaving early because they're blowing them out. And instead, you decide to stay and you lose like that. I can't tell you how many times I've left a Falcons game and just been like, nobody says anything. You just
Yeah, right. DeMarcado should be benched for indefinitely. Like, these knuckleheads, man. I read that Jordan Addison was benched the first quarter of the game in London this week because he missed a meeting. I was like, dude, after all of the boneheaded things you've done, just go to the fucking meetings. What are you doing?
It's so crazy. Yeah, he missed like the walkthrough, I think, is what they said, which I imagine is before it. Yeah. Wow. maybe the time change got him. I don't know. Who knows? So strange.
This just these kids, I get it. Your life is weird, but just get your shit. Just keep your shit together for 7 years. And then you can smoke all the pot and you can do all the dumb things. It's a giant mountain of generational money. All you have to do is not fuck up. Ugh.
It's hard to believe. It's like you always talk about, though. They're literally have been protected by whatever their whole lives because they're so talented.
I know. Middle school, I've never been there. The bright white lights. I mean, I have my stories of crumbling under pressure, which is nothing compared to what these guys are facing.
Right.
And it's so much money at stake and friends with their hands out and weird things. And
I think that's why the scouts in the NFL now, the amount of interviews from like hometown people and all these random things that go on now, these deep dives in their personality and their potential troubled issues and everything is so much deeper than it ever used to be.
Right.
And
the
players kind of understand and know, and then, you know, Jalen Carter falls to the Eagles at number 9 overall instead of 1.
Right.
Because of the accident. And then somebody gets a better deal on somebody. Or you take him and he ends up being a screw up and you're out of first round pick. And you're like, well, that was the risk we took, you know?
But then you, the other side, you have the honey badger type of guys that you worry about them, and then they become superstar. You know, Randy Moss was a troubled kid, you know, that's why he, you know, but he was just undeniably one of the best wide receivers of all time. Like, what? Right. How much shit do you take? Like, yeah. I understand the debate. I get it. It's pro football. It's not Little League. We're not trying to be nice guys here. We're trying to win and build a brand. Right. And sometimes you're going to have some characters involved. So I get it. I see the debate. I totally understand both sides of it. But yeah, if I was running a team, I would try really hard to try to build one without those guys.
Totally. And as much as I rip on the Falcons, like this new crop of Bijan and Drake and Penix and all the people they've done these.
Yeah, they're nice guys.
Nice guys. Bijan just in his off week this past week, like started up a foundation to help with literacy and went to Mercedes-Benz and bought like 75,000 books. And the guy's like just, I mean, not only is amazing to watch, and I think the league's going to, you know, the Falcons are such a small market, nobody gets eyes on him. But the more people watch him, the more he is a special, he's a special player.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
right. I can't say he's Barry Sanders, but those little jump cuts have a little Barry Sanders stop people in their tracks and pick up full speed the other way. It's crazy. It's crazy to watch.
He's his own thing, man. I love that camera angle. It must be some experimental camera that's in the it's in the dome. Is it only in Atlanta?
I've only seen it there, but I'm also, you know, follow the Falcons page, and it's always popping up with all the different guys making that right above, and then you just see like
It has something where it tracks the player, and so that player is the center of the shot. It's really interesting the way it works. It's a very unusual shot, but it's so cool to see. He's the perfect player for that. jump cuts from overhead, so cool.
We might have missed the playoffs for 7 years in a row, but we have a cool camera and Freddie the Falcon, our mascot, does. So I assumed another guy puts on the Freddy costume and rappels in from the top of Mercedes-Benz. Because what mascot knows? No, it's actually him. It's him. And then now Freddie Jr. is his son. The guy's, it's like his full-time job. He's been doing it for like 20-something years. Because, mascots, it's so, you know, Aiden actually.
So that's one guy? It's not a few guys?
No, it's one guy. Other, like, college people, they rotate him out. Right. I'm not sure about like the Braves and Blooper and stuff like that, but it's been the same guy, and he had a child, and now he'll bring out Freddie Jr., who's like, you know, half the size. He's like grooming his kid to be Freddie. It's so wild.
It's a very specific job to groom.
Right. No speaking, you know. It's literally, that's the one thing. You can't speak, you know.
You can't speak.
You can ask
and questions. Play big. You think this is too much? It's not. You got to go bigger.
The best is at the end of each game, there's been so many games that come down to the wire. And if you're playing an away game and you're winning with that last second field goal, whatever the mascot is standing right below. And when the ball goes through for the opposing team to lose the game, the mascot always dips his head or falls over. Right. And it's fun to watch the reaction. The mascot's always over there. Poop. I was telling, you know, Carl here, diehard Buffalo fans, so the Falcons play a week from tonight, right? On the early Monday night game, which is going to be a raucous
scene. Oh, it's a double Monday?
It's a double Monday. They have the early one. They kick off at like 7-something. All of his friends are flying in from Buffalo. And I was super upset that, one, I hate the Pats and didn't want to see them win. Two, I like Buffalo. Three, I was like, now they're going to come here. So
I thought the same thing. I was like, no,
please.
I don't want them annoyed. Yeah.
I know. I was like, smoke the Pats and then maybe overlook us a little bit, and, you know, because they're obviously a better team. But, hey, any given Sunday or Monday, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Patriots, they put a blueprint on tape of how to beat them. So watch it, everybody.
There were so many mistakes and weird turnovers. That game is weird.
Many miscues. That'll help.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. So, yeah, we'll see. We're the one team coming off a bye week where I don't think it changes anything. Normally you have these, like, wildly gifted coaches coming up with these crazy game plans.
Oh, right.
I don't dislike Raheem. I just don't. He doesn't strike me as this like, curing brain cancer type of intellect. I know he's got like a DQ kind of like, he talks really fast. He's got really motivation. The guys love him. He's always rah-rah. Right. He's always like, he's fun to listen to, but I'm not sure if he's, you know, X's and O's genius guy. We'll see.
Yeah, it's funny you compare him to Dan Quinn, because I watched a clip of Dan Quinn last night, and I was thinking, yeah, I never thought he was the sharpest tool in the shed, but he is a good leader, right? You buy him as a rah-rah, let's get our shit together and go smash their faces kind of guy, right?
Totally. I mean, it's not just Raheem. Like, we've had, you watch a game and there's obvious times where you call a timeout or you don't call a timeout, season after game after game. And he'll kind of stare and look around, and it's like, isn't there a guy that tugs on your shirt and goes, right, call one now, or in your ear or something? It's just bizarre.
It is weird that some teams are not good at that. That seems like something you would practice and work on and like sit down and work. You have some weird expert comes in and you sit down and you work through, okay, there's 44 seconds left. There's three timeout. What are we doing? And you practice these moments. It's so important to get right.
You could literally type it into ChatGPT and have like a little spreadsheet and have one guy stand there and stare at it and pay attention to the game and then ding a button and you go, timeout.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, you're right. You could have a graph. It could be a laminated Waffle House thing that's laying around over there that you pick up at these key moments. Like, it's crazy.
I mean, again, now I realize I'm sitting on a couch. I'm literally have nothing going on. These guys, football is the most complicated. The play clock is happening fast. It's the most complicated situation of stuff going on, for sure.
And that fog of war thing, I've got total empathy. It's chaos. And there's a guy running and, now the knees hurt and we don't, shit, we called the play, can't hear me. But there's so much going on that we don't fully understand. So it's a complicated thing. But that is something that they should be working on more than they seem to be.
And half the time college and pros will watch a team that's down three and they get in field goal range and they're like, fourth and three, I think we're gonna go and go for it. I'm like, you don't want to tie the game? I'm just puzzled by it. Like, analytics, man. Analytics says we go for it. They get stuffed, they never get the ball back. What'd you do there? Well, we were we just decided, and it's like, okay, well, I mean, I get it if you're on the 1 yard line trying to pin them in, thinking you're gonna get back or whatever. It's just, there's just strange. I swear that, like, I feel like the old days where you just take the points when you have a chance.
Yeah, but I understand. Like, let's say, like, I had a conversation about this at a poker table recently, and we looked it up. Like, the odds of a 2-point conversion, they're pretty much a coin flip. It's like 48%.
Is that right?
One, depending on what you look at and what years. But it's right. It's right there. So, you're playing the Eagles. You have a chance to win it now. Fucking go for it. I get it. Like, you think after having played this 3-hour game, you know exactly the play to call that's going to make it 60% and not 40. Fucking go for it. I'm with you on the analytics argument if the other things are sort of lined up. But yeah, like, I watched the Rams Niners game on Thursday, and at the end they had one of those moments and they went for it and they didn't get it and the game's over. Like, it would have definitely gone to overtime. And now with the new overtime rules, you get a last at bat. So I don't know. I'm with you. I think broadly we've gotten a little out of hand with the there's something to the old system of cover your ass.
right. And I get it. You're right. I don't know the situation. Like on the, I guess it was the HBO on Hard Knocks. There was, or maybe it was the QB from, I think it was QB on Netflix. Dan Campbell was explaining last season. And he's like, we lost like three defenders during that game. It was the same thing. Kicked in overtime. And he's like, I knew they were exhausted. We didn't have the same personnel. Screw it, go for it, and that makes sense. I'm a couch potato watching, Of course, you don't know what's happening, so I don't. It is what it is. But yeah, and Sean McVay, I mean, kudos to him. He came out immediately. He was like, "Yep, made a mistake. Because you don't hear that very often. They're usually just like, you know, we decide we're going to, whatever the situation is. I mean, Kirby, that's, you know, Kirby did the same thing against Alabama. It's like, you're down three. He puts in the running back who hadn't touched the ball. He had three of the running backs that were absolutely pounding the rock. And, you know, but again, he gets it. You're like, yep, he's the greatest coach out, you know.
Yeah, right.
And so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have to, you're just tying it means you didn't, we didn't win yet. You still have 50-50 chance of losing.
Right.
If you could, if you feel like you have a real shot at winning the game right now, I get that. And I'm glad that the coaches are a little more freed from the fear of looking like a fool than they used to be. I think that's better for the game.
Peyton did it yesterday. I'm not an Eagles fan by any stretch. I don't really like them. And I don't hate the Broncos, but I'm not a big Sean Payton fan. But I will give him props. He's a good coach. Actually, right. I can't stand the guy. But went for two and ended up finishing with, you know, 18-17, I think it was. So,
yeah, that's right.
We should be applauding the 72 Dolphins. They're excited again.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Both the undefeated teams lost. So
that's everyone never- That's Everyone never getting lost. Touched in our lifetime, right? They added a game.
I mean, week five, right? If the Eagles can lose a game, they seemed untouchable.
In the salary cap era with 17 games and maybe 18 in a few years, the 72 Dolphins are all going to die.
Yeah.
And then we'll probably die before anybody comes close to that.
That's there a good which comes first.
I don't even imagine. I mean, I can't remember like a 13-0, 12-0 team. So, I mean, the Patriots that one year,
yeah,
they lost to the Giants in the
Super Bowl. We witnessed live the Falcons beating Cam Newton and bringing them down to, I believe they were 15-1 after that game.
And speaking of public intoxication, you were yelling. Sit down, Superman. Sit down.
What's up, Superman? That's harder than it looks. Yeah, that's right. That was Ava's first football game.
Yes, that's right. And mom's first and last. That's a lot of walking.
That is a lot of walking.
And you know, mom, when we go places, mom says it's loud in here. And I was like, mom, it's about to be really loud in here.
Now it's time for which comes first. Oh, yes, it's time for which comes first. Now tell me, will this happen before that happens? It's time for which comes first.
That's just I just love that tune so much. All right, which comes first? Someone breaks that record or all of the Dolphins are dead?
Oh, the deaths for sure. They're
really?
I mean,
there's a bunch of them left. They're, you know.
I actually don't think the record's going to be broken in our lifetime. And the 72 Dolphins are old men now, right? They played professional football in 72. I was born in 75, and I'm not a spring chicken, you know? So, yeah, they'll all be dust.
I'll take the other side. I'll take the other side of this just for fun, for your memory someday if it happens.
I think it's possible.
You get a variance works the other way too. Like once in a while, the fluky thing happens. You know, the team, you get like one of these Buffalo Bills kind of teams, and they just run the table. It's possible. I don't think it's likely.
I'll give you 10-1. So I'll pay you $100, or you pay me $10.
$10.
Yep.
A bet for our whole lives.
Well, not ours. The Dolphins.
I know, but I.
Yeah. I mean, surely we're going to outlive the 72 Dolphins, I hope, right?
All right. I'll take 10-1. Yeah. All right. I got to pick them up. You know, this is a terrible time to make the bet because the Bills and the Eagles were the most, it's the scariest teams. The teams that they're the kind of teams that could run the table. And here we are, week five, they didn't.
We will 100% forget this bet, and it's not going to matter.
Oh, this is a fun one. We'll remember this.
Okay. All right.
All right. So we got to talk the other thing. We did a thing just a month. If everyone out there has been listening to this podcast, I'm telling you, it's one of the greatest ideas ever. It's just a month. Pick something. It could be something simple. Call my mom every day for a month. It could be something big, you know, some life-tweaking thing. You just try it for a month. Every day I'm going to wake up and write, work on my novel before I look at emails. Whatever your thing is, I'm going to train for a marathon. I'm going to, you know, just try it for a month. I've been doing it for several months now, and it is so cool. So Andreas and I just finished Steps, focusing on getting in steps for a month. And my floor was 7,000 a week, with the goal of hitting 10,000. I wasn't sure that was possible for me, but I actually did it the last week of the 4 weeks. And the first week was actually maybe my biggest triumph, because I was like really sick on Wednesday. And I got like whatever. I think on my phone it was like 89 steps on Wednesday. I was literally just, my kid was sick and I was sick, and I was just laying on my back most of the day like, God, this sucks. And the next day, you know, I was pretty good, but you know, you don't feel great. So I get out there, I make sure I get a few thousand steps in. And then the rest of the week is like a crazy mad scramble. That was one of the big lessons of this for me, was it's the law of averages, man. You better not miss a day. You're fucked. Mm-hmm. Like you get a D on a test, it's very hard to get an A in the class. You know, like I the rest of that week, I would literally like, I drove like 7 hours to a gig. I get out of the car. I tell the booker I'm here. I walk around the town, wash my face and tell jokes. And then I wake up the next day and drive to another gig, and I'm like walking around a casino, and I'm marching around the airport. The plane's delayed. And I'm like, oh, I got to have my backpack. I'm just like, I couldn't believe I made it to 7,000 average for the average, 7,000 a day average at the end of the week. It's hard to do if you get a zero somewhere.
Yeah.
And my biggest surprise was just the time commitment. Like, mm-hmm. I was surprised by several things. One, that I could do it physically. Like I got in better shape as the month went on, and my feet didn't ache as much. My back didn't hurt. Like I could do 7,000 steps a day. And then I made it to 8,000 and 9,000 and 10,000 a day by the end of the month. But man, you got to really try. It doesn't happen by accident. Like, to get 10,000 a day, you have to put aside an hour that's nothing but walking,
right?
And have your regular walking life.
Yep.
And even then, like, you might not get there. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, basically, if you walk 4 miles an hour, which is really, really, really fast, that's 15-minute mile. And 10,000 steps is about 4.5 miles. So you're looking at over an hour. And that's like, you know, super fast walking. So normally you're doing...
Right.
1.6, 3.73. So it's like 17. I was basically walking like 17-minute miles, 16-minute miles, somewhere. So walking fast. But even that, that's over an hour. So you, just like you said, you got to really, and I will say, like, is you've been obsessed with, do you ever do something for a month? And you know my personality, I get bored and stuff after a couple of days. But I was like, I'm going to do this. And I kept track. Meticulous track of it all.
You did it on paper. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. I know you would send me the little graph from your phone. I was like, I'll average it up at the end, because my watch would tell me. And same thing. If I didn't get it done, I go at night. Now, I had the luxury of having a treadmill in my house. So if I didn't get it done, I would go downstairs not wanting to get, you know, want to brush my teeth and get ready for bed. Nope. Just sit there and walk until I could hit it. So I ended up, are we doing our totals?
Yeah, go ahead. Tell me. I'm curious, because I know, I mean, you had a higher goal and you're more of a motivated, like, athletic type. So I was kind of daunted to even be in the same sort of challenge with you.
Well, we're doing walking.
I know, but still, I'm like, I feel like
we're motivating the assisted living home somewhere.
I know, but any given day, I can walk a lot, which I proved in Alaska. Like, whatever.
We do, yeah,
14,000 steps for walking around Juneau. Yeah, great. But to do it every day, it was just like, oh my, holy shit, that's a lot. Because my body would like the next day after I did one of those days and not do too much.
Yeah. But I think if people are serious about it, the key is to make sure you have like actually good tennis shoes with good soles. I mean, again, this is two old guys talking, because if you're 24, you can use your 10-year-old tennis shoes. It doesn't matter. But as you get older, it's definitely. And I was surprised. I was actually sore. Like, my feet were sore the first few days, and then it got better like pretty quickly. But I ended up getting 331,500 steps, which ended up 11,050 a day.
Wow. That's amazing.
Got over 11,000, and it was, which is like, I don't know, a little bit over five miles a day. And
that's a lot, man. That's impressive. Nice job.
Yeah. I will say though, like, the good thing is I'm used to doing, you know, elliptical, running, whatever it is. You can't have like eaten too close to that. You have to be like energized. You have to be in a situation where you can sweat into whatever it is. We'll say the walking, there's no excuses. You just go start walking, and you can stop. You can have a snack and go walk again. It's not like a diehard cramp. And then you just do it all the time. Like you were talking about being in the airport terminal and just hop, you know, park farther away from the store, just whatever. There's no reason to be trying to circle a parking lot to find a close spot when you're even just all the time in your life, but especially in a walking contest, you know?
Right. So it's like, yeah. I was surprised. When you're pressed to do it, it was a great exercise of like, oh, I could squeeze in some walking right now. Like one morning I called Bob and Tom. It's 8 a.m. Eastern. It's 5 a.m. here. Mm. And then my next call is at 6:05 local. So I get off the radio at like 5:15, and then I got 45 minutes, you know, and usually I sit and I work on jokes and I post memes and I email clubs. I do all this computery kind of stuff. And I was like, I really got to pick this up this week. You know, I got to get some steps in before I go on the road. Cause the road is like this crazy mystery box of, right. I don't know how much time I'm going to have. So I just went walking.
Did you go outside and walk?
Yeah. My neighborhood is gate. My complex, you've been here. It's gated. Yeah. It's dark out. And I just like walk around the complex and people are waking up and having breakfast and walking their dogs. And it's still dark out. And then I came back and I did my 6:05 call. And then I'm off until 7:10. So now I got like another 45 minutes. So I go back out again, and now it's starting to get light, and now there's more cars moving around. It was kind of interesting. Like, I'd never seen my complex at that hour before.
Oh, early morning stuff is so cool. I mean, I'm not, you know, I wake up earlier than you do on a normal basis, but I'm not a 5 a.m. person. But when I do wake up early, you get so much done, and you start seeing people waking up and the sun rising. And I will say, like, there's something really, really cool about that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm the opposite. I spent my whole life avoiding mornings. I'm a night guy. I love the night. I love the quiet and the darkness and the creative moment and the fun with friends and the travel. And I hate mornings. But this exercise was interesting because I realized, like, especially after the first week where I was sick and then I was trying to catch up the whole week, I was like, I got to flip this on its head, man. I got to clock some time so that I get a cushion later in the week. So I pressed earlier in the day, earlier in the week, but as the month kind of went on, I found myself trying to really, because I, in the first week, I was like, I really crushed it on the end of the first week. And then I was like sore and exhausted. So I kind of took the Monday light. Now I'm behind again for the following week, you know? It's like I put myself in a hole 2 weeks running, and I was like, no, this week I'm going to start strong. And if I need to have a soft day on a Thursday or something, I can try to do that. So that was an interesting exercise too. Like, and that applies to all the things, not just exercise. That could be whatever you're trying to do more of, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely did some morning exercise, which I don't normally do, and airport stuff and weird, like walking around clubs and casinos. And like on more than one occasion, I went to play cards, but I wanted to drive now so I wouldn't be stuck in traffic. So I drive and park my car next to the card room. And then I walked around SoFi, which is next to the thing. Oh, yeah. And one day I walked in the other direction and I walked around the Intuit Dome, which is on the other side of the street. Huh. And And there's like there's some really cool areas that I had never seen. There's a bunch of new condos going up down there. And then on the other side is like fucking scary, creepy.
I was gonna say, isn't Inglewood have a little bit of a
it's like any big city. It depends what direction you're in. Like any block is like, wow, it's this is like a fucking, you know, $1.5 million condo building. And then you go like three blocks over and you're like, oh man, I can't stay here very long.
didn't one of the players just say they saw a dead body and floating in the water? Did you see that story?
No, I didn't see that.
They played at SoFi. I think it was last week or the week before. I don't know if he was like, I don't know if they verified it or not. That was like one of his quotes. He was like talking about how he looked outside of his hotel and he saw a body floating in the water. And he was playing at SoFi. Yeah, I mean, again. Who knows?
The SoFi area is really nice. Like, and that north of that, that's where the Cosm is. That whole area has gotten super gentrified. They're building these beautiful condos. Right. And then like a few blocks south, like on the other side of the Intuit Dome, I walked over there. In fact, it was the day I ended up talking to you on the phone. I was walking during that conversation.
Okay.
And that neighborhood is skeevy. Like, you know, there's characters milling around and it's like you get your spidey senses go up of like, oh, I really shouldn't be here.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's LA. It's all big cities have that, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you saw Skylar Thompson got mugged in Dublin the Friday before the game, the backup quarterback last week.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. I don't know if you heard this. Mark Sanchez got stabbed by some lunatic. When you first heard the story, you're like, well, that's unlucky. I hope he's okay.
That's right? Exactly what I thought. I was like, what a random. Yeah, and literally the headline popped up as Sanchez arrested in hospital. I was like, what is happening?
Wait, what? That's rock bottom. You're in the hospital because you attacked a guy and he stabbed you and now you're going to jail. Like, that's, you got to stop drinking.
Like a Jason Bateman series, right? Yeah.
All right. So what? Anything? What surprised you about the steps thing?
I wasn't surprised that my body got used to it. I was surprised that I was a little bit sore, and then actually jumped on a scale today just to confirm, and I actually dropped a few pounds during it because it was consistent.
Oh, and I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, I kept the kept my diet kind of similar and kept everything similar. Just added that, and then tried to work out, do some like, you know, gym type workout or as far as like muscle type workout in addition to it, which helped for sure. But did you end up losing any weight from it?
I was just gonna say. I mean, I've been since we went to Alaska. I've been kind of losing a little bit because I, you know, watch these videos myself. I'm like, come on, drop, you know. So I've been. I'd already was losing a little bit. I didn't lose as much as I thought I might. You know, walking every day, all day long for a month, I thought, you probably need to buy a new belt at the end of this. You know, I didn't have that. But I did lose some weight. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
I like how you talked about, you know, training for a marathon, and then we segue to us going, I was expecting to lose all this. I'm walking every day.
I mean, it's so much more walking than I normally do.
It's a lot.
It was a dramatically different life for a month.
Yeah, absolutely. No, totally.
That was actually one of my surprises was that I didn't feel better and I didn't sleep better. Like, I had the same complaint about the month I did with the no ultra processed foods. It was like, I expected my life to improve. Like, I'm not eating French fries for a month. Come on.
But you carried that over into better habits, right?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And the knowledge that I gained from listening to that book and talking about it and thinking about it intensely for a month, like, definitely improved my decision-making since then. Yeah, for sure. That's the goal of any just a month, is that you land on something that you're like, I want to keep this in my world. You know, right. That's the whole point.
Because if you're eating better and you continue with the walking and you write a joke every day, and then I wouldn't do, are you going to do one of the play poker every day ones or no?
Oh, I did that in May.
Oh, that's right.
I treated it like a job. I got books. I was listening to, I was watching videos. I studied. That's one of my favorite ones. And the lessons of that are with me for sure.
Right.
I studied that crazy game. Like it's for those listening. I studied the Limit game, which is a totally different universe than No Limit. And I've been playing kind of a big Limit game. And it's been a great experiment exercise. It's fascinating how different that game is and how much, you know, it's big swings and it's big boy poker. And it's a lot of the life lessons of discipline and timing and understanding the ebb and flow of life is sometimes it's brutal and you have to hang in there. And when it's great, you have to enjoy it because it's not always going to be great. Yeah, you know.
Is it a pile of like regular degenerates that are playing that game, or is it like it's not random tourists because it's too specific for that?
Right. It's regulars, and some of the regulars are really good, and okay. Some of the regulars are really terrible, and lots of people in between.
So, but the regulars that are really terrible, where are they? They just keep doing it knowing that, I mean, it seems expensive.
Yeah. One of them, so I won't say a name, but one of them is a woman who is rumored to, her husband is apparently a good No Limit player and they'll come in together and she plays in the big limit game. And he walks over a few tables and they're an older couple and they apparently own a lot of Beverly Hills real estate. They're doing very well and they're retired. And she will regularly dump $1,000 into the table a night.
Oh, that's dreamy. So is that what it is? You get one or two fish over the course of a long session and then everybody that's good kind of takes their nibbles out of the fish and then...
Yeah, and that money floats around the table in and out of the mediocre players too. And then the handful of good players can, over the long run, make that money. That's the idea. But of course, on any given night, this fucking guy is the one leaving with $2,000. Are you kidding me?
I was going to say, if the fish doesn't get paid off ever, they're not going to keep coming back. So it actually, and in limit, you can't get them off a hand. And so when they're chasing their flush, they're going to hit, 36% of the time, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's fascinating how we could talk about it for hours. You and I are poker dorks.
Most people, yeah, right, totally.
But that's been a great exercise. Okay, so, and here's the teaser. I've just started. I'm already hungry. This month I'm doing intermittent fasting with Tom Simmons.
Oh, wow.
It's interesting. Tom is going fucking balls to the wall with it. He will sometimes do 22 hours without eating.
What?
I am doing the more traditional path of keep your eating windows to 8 hours. So I'm still experimenting on what the right start time is, but it's either 11 or 12 and then go till 7 or 8. It's no breakfast and no evening drinking or snacking. So that part's weird.
If you want to do one on mintant snacking, let me know. But intermittent fasting, I have zero interest in that.
Hey, it's just a month.
I'm a person who's literally nibbling on something pretty much every hour.
I know. I have some of the same habits, and I want to try not doing it for a month and see how it feels. So I've been excited about this one for a while, and I'm glad it's here because my Uncle Richard sort of backed into it. He was sort of a full-bodied guy most of his life, mm-hmm. and he's a little skinnier now than he used to be, and this seems to be the key reason. He sort of realized on a long motorcycle trip that he got home at the end of it and lost some weight, and he was like, well, what happened there? And then he realized he was riding a lot in the morning, and he didn't eat until noon, and then he did some research and has embraced this as a thing. Right. I've got a buddy, Mark Carroll, who was a college athlete. He was a hockey player at the University of Georgia. He was this bouncy, floppy-haired, smiley, energetic, skinny little kid when I knew him at Georgia. And then he got sort of regular life caught up with him, and he was sort of a chunky, grown-up later on. And he's done intermittent fasting for like a decade, and he's lost weight and kept it off. And so I've always thought, well, part of my approach was, it can't be good for your body. You're training your body to store calories long run, like, you know. And then I looked it up, and that's not what the science says. The science seems to really back it as a thing that works for people. And they've done tons of studies over all these years. And so once I've sort of realized, like, it's not scientifically bad for me long run, let's give it a try. I've always been a little chubbier than I wanted to be. If I could find an answer that's all right, so I eat a big meal at 6:30 and don't eat till noon the next day, that's not so bad. I'm not eating a great meal, you know. Right. That's so, and he could still, you know, drink and eat pistachios and whatever the other things are that you love to do. You just have to kind of box them in.
Right.
So I'm going to try it for a month and see how it goes. And then November, I've already lined it up with my buddy, Byron, Chat GPT therapy.
Oh, therapy.
Which Glenn swears by, changed his life.
Okay.
Glenn sits down and chats with his computer. Hey, I said this at work. Was I being an asshole? And they knock it around for a while. And I'm insecure about this. And what does Piaget say about that? And, you know, he uses the computer as a therapist and he loves it.
Wow.
So that's going to be November.
Okay. I'm
just a month, everybody.
Okay.
Just a month.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. Keep you posted.
Yeah. It's been a fun yeah. ride.
Those sound way more interesting than walking, by the way.
I know, but walking was, you had to try. Everyone talks about steps constantly. I never tried it. It was a good lesson.
We didn't talk about it. So the latest two articles from like a couple months ago that were like the basically numerous scientific articles that 7,000 is the bottom of all these great health benefits. And when you go up 1,000 steps, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000, it's the little, most marginal little amount of health difference.
Right.
So 7,000 is for everyone. If you can get to that, you have all these. Again, they took a step. There's two different ones that came out. So, and it was surprising that 7,000 and 10,000 was like a 2% extra health benefit. So
it's right. Like but getting to 7 over the average American effort is like dramatically improves your life in all of the ways.
Right. Right.
Every possible measure of weight loss and heart disease and cancer and diabetes. And, you know, it's like the list of 30 things that, you know, statistically, not every person's going to have great outcomes, but, you know, over the group haul, it's dramatically improves your life to get a bunch of steps in. So yeah, it's a great lesson and we should all do it. You know, don't sit in the airport, walk around the airport. I mean, that's an easy lesson.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So thanks for doing it with me, man. It was really cool.
Yeah, it's great. Awesome. I will continue walking.
Me too. I'll definitely keep some of those habits in my, you know, and like a couple times we picked a restaurant that was far away on purpose and we put the little one in the stroller. So if she doesn't want to walk, she can jump in there. And Ava and I would just like fucking walk a mile and eat Indian food and then walk back from it. Yeah. And it was fun. And you get to walk through a cool neighborhood you wouldn't see and you're getting exercise. And I'll definitely keep a lot of those kind of beats in my life. It was a great exercise. I'm glad we did it.
Very nice.
I love you, bro.
All right. I love you too. I love you too, bro. We'll see. Oh, by the way, 4 weeks from Wednesday night, we're boarding a plane.
Is it that soon?
Yep.
Oh, shit. I can't wait, man. I'm so excited. We're going to Berlin. Andreas and I have a longtime tradition now of going to one away Falcons game a year. We've gone to Vegas and Tampa and New York. You count New York. We saw the Falcons play the Jets. Sideways rain in New York City.
Yeah.
We did LA. We did San Francisco. We did Phoenix. That was like, I didn't even sleep there. I flew in, saw the game and kept going. That was a weird one.
I was there for golf. That was one of the craziest. You put your backpack in a storage unit and left the same day. And I Ubered it back to the golf house. Like, and they were like, how was it? It was like, it was great. We lost it. Like our record of going to these games has been amazing. Like
we have had a good run.
Yeah, they made 11-point underdog at San Fran the year they went to the Super Bowl. Julio scored at the end, and
right.
Yeah, so we've had a good run. But yeah, that it was Kyler's first game back, and he just ran in circles, and we couldn't catch him. So yeah.
And it was kind of the coming out party of Trey McBride too. We watched that guy get like 8 catches right. that day, and we were like, this guy is better than we think.
Yep.
Yep. So this year we're going to Berlin, and we're meeting up with Andreas's bone marrow donor and his wife, and it's going to be awesome. I can't wait, man. It's going to be so fun.
He booked us a tour. We're going to see the Parliament in Berlin Saturday at 5 p.m.
I love it. I hope they have some beer.
I looked at the time. I was like, oh, okay, that's good. I thought to myself, well, I did email him, and I thought to myself, like, I don't know if we want to do an all-day tour. You know, some,
we'll get some steps in.
Yeah, there you go. It's going to be fun. It'll be fun. So, all right, love you, bro. Have a good one.
I love you too, man. Kostaki.com has all the schedule-y stuff. Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you in a month and report back on intermittent fasting.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.